Well, good evening, folks. I was just waiting for it to come up to 8 p.m. there. Currently, because we are all in our own homes, I'm coordinating with Cal, who's sitting in his house, and the occasional WhatsApp messages flying back and forward to make sure that everything is functioning. So it's great to be with you again. Thank you to so many of you who've actually taken the time to send in emails of encouragement this afternoon, just to say you've been looking forward to us gathering together here online in that online community in order to do our midweek Bible study. It's such an encouragement when you hear from people. And we trust that everything that we're sharing will go well for us this evening in terms of the technology. For those of you who are on a Facebook platform, we think that should be relatively stable. For those of you who are coming in through the website, we hope and trust that everything is going to go well. Let me encourage you to have a few things nearby, and I'll give you some time to go and get that. If you don't, if you have a Bible, it would be great if you could have that nearby. If you've got a paper and some pen, or a little notebook and some pen, you may be someone that uses your tablet or uses your phone. That's all good news as well. Whatever you're going to use, just to take a few notes. And also, I did say in the email, I'd recommend that we can be very relaxed in this setting. That if you've got a mug of tea or something that you want to drink, then that's good as well. I've got the tea and the water, just to make sure that the voice holds out as we walk through all that we're going to share tonight. So welcome to my study here at home. And as you're sitting in your house, it's good to gather and to have the opportunity to share in a little midweek Bible study. Let me just bring you up to speed with a couple of things in the life of the church. Obviously, like everywhere else, we're in lockdown. We have been allowed to continue to operate the food bank, and we've been doing that on a Wednesday. Folks have still been coming to collect their provisions in the same way as everyone else would go out to go to the supermarkets to buy their provisions. Folks have been able to come and collect a parcel from us, and that's been good. We did that this afternoon. We were one or two folks that had special needs that we were able to deliver to who were housebound because of underlying conditions, but the rest were able to come and to collect their parcels, and that's good news. One of the things we would say is we may find in the weeks going forward that we need one or two delivery drivers. That may be for a food bank parcel, or it may be one or two of our folks that will require someone to collect a prescription for them, perhaps to run a necessary errand, not an unnecessary errand, or perhaps just to pick up one or two things at the shops. And so if you are healthy and well, you're not in the at-risk categories, and you're able to offer some time just to be a delivery driver over the next few weeks, then if you can let us know that, if you can drop us an email either to the leaders at Calderwood or to John at calderwoodbaptist.co.uk or Thomas or Karen, because principally it's the three of ourselves that will be coordinating those drivers. Number of pieces of family news. If we're going to be praying for Angus and Isabel Crichton, most of you may have heard by now that Angus's sister Joy went to be with the Lord. Joy had a wonderful Christian faith, coming from such a strong Christian family, and after a period of illness, she was called home into the very near presence of the Lord. Joy was so true to her name. She was always an encouragement, always wanted to share God's word with us. And I just encourage you to be praying for Angus and Isabel, to be praying for Anne and for Sam and for Evangeline at this time. Also, just a prayer request from Drew and Sheena Phillips. Drew and Sheena, I've got a good friend, Tricia. And she's in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital at the present moment in time. And they just ask that you would remember Tricia and her husband Gordon at this time and uphold them in prayer. Let's just join our hearts together in prayer before we get into our study for this evening. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together as your people. in what is going to become a very familiar way in which we can meet together in these difficult times. Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign Lord, that you are the one who is over all, and that in the midst of all that we're facing as a nation and in all that we're facing throughout our world, you're the one who is still in control, working out your plan, working out your purpose, speaking into hearts and speaking into lives. And Lord, we want just to lift up before you the Crichton family. And we want also, Lord, to lift up before you Tricia and Gordon at this time. And Father, in the days that lie ahead, would you make us mindful to be very much in prayer and walking with all of the families in the life of our church as we find ourselves just seeking to honour you and to glorify you and to do all the wise things in the context in which we find ourselves. We pray that you be with us this night as we seek just to encourage one another from your word, and as we seek particularly to look at the New City Catechism, we pray, Lord, that we would sense your presence in each one of our homes, in each one of our hearts. Father, we build on your word to us on Sunday, and we long to find places where we can sit still and be in your presence and call out to you in prayer. To have that quiet hour, to have that quiet heart. And so, Lord, we pray that as we gather together this night, you would speak into our hearts and lives, you would encourage us, and you would give us a fresh vision of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, many of you might be familiar with the question and the answer to the following couple of questions and answers that I want to give you. The question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you might also be familiar with this question as well. What is your only comfort in life and death? And the answer to that, that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, both of those questions and those answers are drawn from the Westminster and the Heidelberg Confessions, respectively. The first one from the Westminster Confession of Faith, and the second one from the Heidelberg, the Westminster Catechism and the Heidelberg Catechism. But I wonder if you yourself have ever in your lifetime memorized a catechism. We're going to think a little bit for a while about what a catechism is, and then what we're going to do is we're going to open up the New City Catechism as a church together. Well, catechus is a word that is taken from the Greek. Now, I am not a Greek scholar. I just know how to read. And the reality is that's where that word comes from. And simply it means this. It means one being instructed. And so therefore, the catechist would be the person who is doing the instruction. In this case, this evening, that would be myself. The catechist would be that person doing that. But the content, if you like, of the catechist, the process would be known as catechizing. And so the catechist would catechize, and he would be in that process of instructing others. And the catechism is a summary of Christian doctrine. Catechisms are biblical. They are very clear in scripture, although we don't find them in a question and answer format that we find in the Westminster or the Heidelberg. The actual word catechist, that Greek word, is very much a biblical word. When the gospel writer Luke was writing his gospel, his aim in writing the gospel was that Theophilus could have certainty about the things he had been taught. And so in a very real sense, what Luke was doing in writing his gospel is being involved in the process of catechism. What he was doing was seeking, as it were, to instruct Theophilus well in all the things that he had been taught. It was the same kind of clarity that the Apostle Paul was looking for when he was writing to the church at Corinth. And there, in the context of reference to tongues, he said that he would rather speak five words with his mind in order to instruct others. And so what he was saying there was he would rather actually speak five clear, understandable words with his mind as a way of instructing others than to speak in some heavenly tongue, to speak in some glossolalia. And again, it's that same idea that he was unpacking. And also, it's the same with Paul in Galatians, where he exhorts us to share all good things with him who teaches. And so when we receive the word of God, to share what we've received, the word of God, as one who teaches and encourages others. And when you look at the Acts of the Apostles, we learn that Apollos was one who had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And again, it's that same idea. He was one who was well instructed. So when we turn our attention to a catechism, what we're looking at is ways in which we can be instructed in the things of God, ways in which we can learn great biblical truth, great biblical doctrine, foundations that we can build all of life upon. And that's what we're going to be unpacking a little bit tonight in the New City Catechism. Now, historically, the question and answer format of a catechism, that was very often associated with Martin Luther. Martin Luther popularized the idea of the question and answer format. But historically, this question and answer catechism was once an everyday practice in church life. It was a regular thing. And you don't have to go that far back in the history of Scotland to days when still in the church, they would regularly practice the saying and the memorizing of the question and answer form of catechism. This was something that was very much a part. It's been largely lost in the life of the churches these days, and it's one of the things that we're keen to try and revive, because it's got great use, great application for us. Really, it was given to supplement the preaching of the ministers of the gospel, and very often ministers would take time to train the heads of households. And they would train the heads of households in the catechism in order that the heads of the households could then instruct their whole family in the catechism. Now, just without embarrassing them, Alan and Susan Stirling were very familiar with the New City Catechism quite some time back. And they, as a couple, worked together to bring the New City Catechism into the life of the whole family. And so Isla and Kira, they both, along with mum and dad, went through the whole of the New City Catechism. And in fact, I've been in touch with them today, and I know that they're excited again about doing this. Now, their children will be in bed at this time of night. We deliberately wanted to do this midweek Bible study at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night, and we'll be doing this every Wednesday. And we wanted to do it in order that adults and perhaps some of the older children and young people could join in. But we also want to encourage all of our families as they work on these things themselves to teach them to their children. But the great thing about the catechism, it's not only for the family unit in terms of parents and children. It's very much something that couples can do together. It's very much something that individuals can take on board themselves. And it's a great way of taking on board and memorizing wonderful Christian truth. If you as a family, and bear in mind, we're giving you a couple of options as family. We want you to do both, because we've all got so much time in our hands. Earlier on this evening, some of you may have picked up on the studies we've discovered. Mandy took time to discover for us to do in families as a multi-generational small group. But also, If you want to look at the New City Catechism together, then they've got a wonderful website. You can go to newcitycatechism.com. If you're not sure about how you spell catechism, you can check that out before you get there. So the newcitycatechism.com. And if you click on, there's great information in there, but if you click on curriculum, you'll find that there are great downloads there for the whole family. You'll find that in actual fact, you can do a 75-minute or a 45-minute or a 30-minute curriculum together in your family with the New City Catechism. And of course, in these days when many of you have become homeschoolers and you've got to bring your religious and Christian education right into the mix of all that, then it's a great opportunity for you to get involved in. Now, one of the great things about Scotland, the nation that we live in and we're part of, was that in addition to the Westminster Catechism and to the Heidelberg Catechism, Scotland also regularly used John Calvin's Geneva Catechism. And when we turn our attention to the New City Catechism, we'll actually discover that the New City Catechism is drawn from all three of these catechisms. So the Westminster Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Calvin's Geneva Catechism. The New City Catechism is made up out of component parts of all of that. Now, all three of those catechisms, as well as the New City Catechism, clearly expound the doctrines of grace. They help us to avoid heresy. They keep us from wrong thinking. And they enable us as the people of God to grow into the fullness of our maturity in Christ. But here's one of the interesting challenges for all of us. I don't know about you. I was blessed with such a good memory, in fact, almost photographic. And for many, many years, I could recount and recall all manner of things. In fact, I used to read books, put them on my shelf, and know exactly the pages that certain things were said. I was blessed with that. However, as is the case for many of us, with the passing of time, I now have to really work hard at memorizing things. I still continue to do it, but I've got to work really hard at memorizing stuff these days. And the catechism is a great way of remembering great truth, of memorizing it. And so one of the things that we're going to do as well over this little while is encourage us to memorize the catechism. Because as we memorize this, we will find that it seeps into our very being. And in actual fact, in the process of it seeping into our very being, we grow in Christ, we mature in Christ. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity to do all of that. So one of the great things about the New City Catechism is it runs, there are 52 questions and answers, 52 questions and answers. And that means that you can do one a week. And I think it would be great in the midst of all the uncertainty of the days that we're in the midst of all that we're facing as a nation, that for us it became the launch pad for a year-long, week-by-week study in the New City Catechism. And hopefully in time we'll be able to do some of this face to face, all in the company of one another, to encourage one another, but certainly we'll also be able, as we learn more and more about what it is to be online, to communicate in this way. So we're drawing from the great catechisms of history. We're going to look at it in 52 questions and answers, one a week. We're going to encourage one another to memorize it, and we're going to encourage you where that is appropriate or where that is relevant. We're going to encourage you to do that with your children. So I'm kind of hoping that we'll be able to continue keep going. If there's any wee blips in the video footage or anything, don't worry about that. The voice should continue. And what we want to do is start, launch into this whole year of memorizing the New City Catechism. So sit back, get ready for the journey, but you're going to be involved in it as well. There will be times when I'll be encouraging you in the place where you are at the present moment in time with the people you are with to share a little bit. If you are watching and you are a Facebook user, there is a little comments screen down the side. And if you've got an encouragement comment you want to make on there, they can do that. Or if there's some contribution you want to make for others to see, then you can do that as well. But we're going to come to our first question. Now, most of you will probably actually have seen the little trailer for this. And the first question, in actual fact, I think is a great question in the context in which we find ourselves all in. And the question is this: what is our only hope in life and death? What is our only hope in life and death? Now, there is a way in Facebook where I could go off the screen and bring up another one, but it becomes very complex to get back to this particular screen again. So I'm going to go very old-fashioned, very non-techie, and I'm just going to lift up this and I'm going to show you the question. What is our only hope in life and death? And I'm going to encourage you to write that question down. What is our only hope in life and death? Incredible question. And I want to give you both the short answer, which is the one that I would encourage you to memorize, and I'm going to give you the slightly longer answer. And for those of you who've got young, sharp, astute minds that are brilliant at memorizing, I'll give you the longer answer, and you can memorize the longer one if you want as well. But there's the question: what is our only hope in life and death? And here is the shorter answer: that we are not our own, but belong to God. That we are not our own, but belong to God. Now, that's the shorter answer. If you want the longer answer, it's this: that we are not our own, but belong, body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm hoping that you've had a chance to write down the question. I'm hoping this little method here will also allow you to take some notes in terms of the answer. Now, where it's black in bold, that we are not our own, but belong to God. That is the short answer. And for those of you who want to memorize the long answer, that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I was repeating that is that one of the best ways to memorize is to repeat, say it out loud, repeat it again. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. And for those of you with the great memories, that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And so, we're going to have a look at a few scriptures that unpack that question and that answer. And we're going to have a little think about one or two, just some short questions that we can think about this in that context for ourselves this evening. There are many, many scriptures that we could look at, but if you've got your Bible, We're only going to look briefly at four scriptures this evening. The first one is in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. And I'll take a little drink while you look that up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. And some of you will have that very quickly because you're using your phones and you can go straight to it. And some of you might be a little bit longer just as you get your Bible and pick it out from there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. So let me just read that for you. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now, it is the most incredible truth of Scripture. When I read that earlier today, as I often do, and it's a little method that I'd encourage you to do, when I'm preparing to preach a sermon, it would be very easy for me just to have my Bible open and to reference it. Now, I know that some of the younger guys would think I'm so much of a dinosaur, but what I actually do is I write out the text, handwrite out the text, pen and paper, and I write it straight out of my Bible, the way the old scribes used to do, and I write it onto a piece of paper, and I just look at that verse, standing alone on the page in isolation. And what I do is I start to look and underline different parts of that text that just jump out at me and what it's saying to me. And when I think about, you know, what is our only hope in life and death, that we are not our own, but we belong to God, I realize that, you know, you and I, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God indwells his believers by his Spirit. And this is the gift of God. It is all of his grace. And God speaks into our lives and he says, you are not yours to do as you want or to think as you would choose to think. Because, you know, you are mine. For I have bought you. And I've bought you at the price of the death of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a result of that, what I want you to do, and I'm filling you with the Spirit in order that you can do this, is I want you to glorify God with your body. Now notice what he says, glorify God with who you are. In other words, everything that God has given us, you know, we have to glorify God because of his grace towards us in our Lord Jesus Christ. And just to show that that is the case, I'm now going to read the next passage, but rather than look at my Bible, I'm going to read that straight from the handwritten text that I have in front of me. So John chapter 10, the Gospel according to John, we've been in a regular series on Sunday mornings. We've been preaching through John's Gospel, and we will get back to that someday, one day. But I want you to look at John chapter 10, this time verses 28 and verse 29. John chapter 10, verse 28 and verse 29. And again, I'll read it. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And so again, I'd written that text, and I took my pen, and I started just to read through it. And what I do is I just underline the little bits that just capture my attention. Even as I was reading it again, there was another little bit that I wanted to underline. And so I've just done that just to show you how that works. So we go back to that text. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Now, one of the great things we have here is God the Father, Christ the Son, one God, three persons, and they're working as they always must and only can, as the unit that they are. And here's the great truth. The gift of God to us is eternal life. What is our only hope in life? Glorify God with your body. What is our only hope in death? We are those who are already the possessors of eternal life. Why? Because it's a gift given to us from God. And the gift that is given to us from God is something that can never, ever be taken from us. In actual fact, what Jesus, and it's Jesus who's speaking here in John 10, says is that those that he grants eternal life to, they will never perish, and no one or nothing can snatch them out of the hands of Jesus. And he goes on to explain that it is the Father's work, and he has given each of us who believe to our Lord Jesus Christ, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. And there's that wonderful way in which the Bible sometimes says things twice, and it's by repetition, you remember things, but also it enforces things for us. It applies that truth to our hearts. Now think about that. You've been given, what is your only hope in life and death? You already have eternal life. No one or nothing amidst all the fears of coronavirus and what it's capable of, nothing can snatch us out of the hand of God our Father. Nothing can snatch us out of that gift that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the little verse that I underlined there, just addition, was that little bit which just caught my attention there. The Father who has given them to me, is greater than all. He's greater than all. God our Father is greater than everything. Everything. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but we belong to God, the one who is greater than everything. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 21, verse 18. Luke chapter 21, verse 18. Luke chapter 21, verse 18. Now, I want you to remember what I said about Luke being involved in catechism. He wanted Theophilus to understand all the things that he had been instructed on. Now, the context of Luke chapter 21 is the persecution of those who claim the name of Jesus Christ. But in the body of the text, and you can read that for yourself at another stage, it does talk about in the midst of all manner of things, even pestilence. In the midst of all of it, look what it says in verse 18. I deliberately just pick this little verse. But not a hair of your head will perish. The Father's intimate knowledge of you and of me, of each one of us, is so detailed that all the hairs of our head are numbered. Now, I know that some of my dear brothers in Christ are challenged in the hair department. Some of our other brothers in Christ are not challenged in the hair department. And at the end of the day, the truth is the truth of God's word. It doesn't matter how many. Not a hair of your head will perish. But it's really just a way of saying, no part of you will perish, for God has you in his hands. And I want us to look now at the main biblical text for this evening, which is Romans chapter 14. And in the days that lie ahead this week, between this week and next Wednesday, when you're thinking a lot about the first question in the New City Catechism and the answer, turn to Romans 14. Verses 7 through 9. Romans chapter 14, 7 through 9. So I'll let you look that up and then I'll read it. Romans chapter 14, 7 through 9. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Now, I want you to notice in that glorious text the emphasis that Paul places upon Lord. You see, we should not live for ourselves, but we should instead live for God, the one who saved us and calls us into a relationship with himself. But look what it says in the middle verse there, verse 8. So then, for if we live to the Lord, so we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And of course, you get that wonderful resurrection note at verse 9. For to this end, Christ died on Calvary's cross, and he was raised from the dead, and he lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So what is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but we belong to God. That we are not our own, but belong to God. So I want us just for a few moments, in our family situation, or you may want to make a comment at the side, I want us just to look at two questions, just to start getting our minds thinking about what it says in Romans chapter 14. But before we do that, let's just turn to the catechism again. And right where you are in your own home, I'm going to say it, you repeat it after me. Say it out loud. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. Now, two questions. First question, and I'll say it, and perhaps somebody can write that down. And then I'll encourage you just to have a little chat amongst yourself just for a few moments. Romans chapter 14, 7 to 9. Have that open in front of you. You can remember the other passages that we looked at in 1 Corinthians 6 and John chapter 10 and Luke 21. In what way can these verses strengthen our faith regardless of the circumstances we may find ourselves in? Now, I'll repeat that question. In what way can these verses strengthen our faith regardless of the circumstances we may find ourselves in? Take a few moments just to think about that, maybe to share amongst one or two of the family members if you're with another person, maybe a couple, maybe in a small family unit. What way can these verses and the other ones before it strengthen our faith, regardless of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in? Now, I'm not sure some of the things that you might be saying or writing, but there was a couple of things that I just wanted to share in response to that question. That little verse in Corinthians, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. That's found a way afresh into my heart, just as I've been looking at that. And I think one of the great things and the way in which faith is strengthened is when we get a fresh realization of all that God has done for us by his grace in adopting us into his family. And as our gratitude towards God increases, so our faith strengthens. But the other aspect for me has been the one of trust. That as I look at the promises of God to us, that we are his in life or in death, that we can learn what it is to trust him through thick and thin, through whatever life might throw at us. And I know that for many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, that's been a real experience for them in the past year. And I feel very conscious of the fact that for many that will be a very real experience over these next number of weeks. But have a look at that passage this week. And as you think about what is our only hope in life and death, and that is that we are not our own, but we belong to God, then look into that. Here's the second little question. I wonder if you could just do a little pen description. Describe the lifestyle of someone who is not living for themselves, but for the Lord. Describe the lifestyle of someone who is not living for themselves, but for the Lord. And again, just take a few moments just to get a few ideas of what you think somebody looks like who's not living for themselves, but they're living for God. And one of the great advantages of drinking your tea without any milk is that it stays warm enough through the course of all that we're sharing. But I was thinking a little bit about the lifestyle of someone who is not living for themselves, but for the Lord. And I think there was a couple of wee things that were going through my head. One is that we completely stop putting ourselves first. Now, we know the Old Testament, Shema, where love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I think in that teaching about for none of us live to himself, that we live, whether we live or die, we live to the Lord, we die to the Lord. And I think I was thinking of the fact that we just don't put ourselves first. We put God first, yes, and we certainly put the needs of others ahead of our own needs. I think the other side of it is that we allow the Word of God to teach us what is right and what is wrong. It's not ourselves that become the arbiters of right and wrong. In actual fact, it's what God's word says. We live in a society that, you know, wants to make its own decisions about all of that. But the reality is God has spoken. God has challenged us. And I think for Christians, it's to live in obedience to what God has said. And that shapes our thinking. We get that, what I would call wise thinking, and learning what it is to live in a way that is God-honoring, which is God-pleasing. And so those were just a couple of things. I think really, in a sense, a big part for me of what it is in terms of lifestyle is for a person to be continually becoming Christ-like, to take on more and more of our Father's likeness, and to take on more and more of Christ-likeness in our life, and to live in a way that's in obedience to what God has said, what God has spoken, allowing His word to shape our mind and to shape our heart, to bring about the priorities that we should have in our lives, and to be those who learn what it is to love God and to love our neighbour, and to be everything that He wants us to be. So let me encourage you to do something very, very practical. The first question on the New City Catechism, and you're all in a place where you now know the question and the answer, I'm sure, by heart. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. Let me just give you the little extended version, because it reinforces for us that we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Saviour Jesus Christ. So what is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but we belong to God. I want you to write that out on a piece of card somewhere. Write it out, a question and answer, and put it up somewhere in the house this week where you know that you're going to see it. I've been trying to encourage people to do a fair bit of reading rather than just binge out and box sets. If you're not hearing that and you're binging out in box sets, put it on your television screen. Put it on your television screen, right? Okay, if you want to watch the box set, that's fine. Put it above your television screen. But what is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but we belong to God. Write that out somewhere. Somewhere that you'll see it this week. Put it in the fridge door. Put it, you know, in your bedroom wall. Whatever it suits you. Write it out. Put it up there. And I promise you that the more you look at that, the more you will say it. Say it out loud as well. And when you say it out loud, it will go in. And we can then begin to memorize question one. Now, some of us are already thinking, my goodness, will I memorize one question? The aim of this exercise is that over the year, we can memorize 52 and 52 answers. And I feel confident that many of us, in actual fact, will be able to do that. And even to do that in a random way, when somebody says the question, we'll be able to give more or less the answer to it. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Can I just say, it's a wonderful privilege as a pastor in the life of the church to still have this opportunity, even in the midst of the circumstances, the restrictive circumstances that we find ourselves in these days, to tune in together, to know that the body of Christ is still meeting and gathering and tuning in together to think on these things. Remember that little reminder, those of you with younger children, you can do this as your RE curriculum, as part of your homeschooling. And let me encourage you to do that over the next little while. So let's pray together as we begin to draw this to a close. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are our hope. When we think about that question, what is our only hope in life and death? And then we contemplate the answer that we are not our own, but we belong to you. We thank you that you are our hope in life and in death. And together we commit one another into your loving care. We thank you that you love us. And we thank you that you love us because we are your own. We know that we are nothing without you. And our greatest blessing is in this truth that we belong to you. And so, Father, we rejoice that we are not our own, but we belong to you. And we pray that this would be a truth that would just live with us in all of life, that we'd rest on this truth in our sleep, that we'd live in the light of this truth in our day-to-day business. Would you bless us, we pray, for your honour and for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can I encourage you again, write out the question, write out the answer, put it up there on a piece of card, wherever you're going to see it, and memorise it. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God. May the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit rest and remain upon us all where we are right now, this day, and forevermore. Amen. Bless you.